Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Guardsman Tree Lot at Fort Mason, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
It's great to have you here. Thanks so much for tuning in. We are at the Tree Lot down here at Fort Mason. The Guardsmen are providing campership and scholarship for Bay Area at-risk youth since 1947. And I am thrilled, absolutely thrilled to be a part of this charity group. It is one of the best, most respected groups here in the city. An all-volunteer army, Gianna, sets this all up. Every single person here, we figured out, because we got a lot of guys who are professionals, lawyers, doctors, policemen, FBI agents, a lot of military background here for a lot of the guys at the Guardsmen. And we figured out if everybody put together their billable hours.
Oh, boy.
We got about $3 million worth of billable hours down here, just
wow.
In terms of the hundreds of volunteers that it takes to put this on. So we thank all of them. We invite you to come on down here and pick up whatever you need for your holiday tree, your door, your veranda, your lanai, whatever you're calling it. Come on down to the Guardsman Tree Lot. We have an awful lot waiting for you here. It's a great, great holiday experience, and hopefully you plan on being a part of it. We're open from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Friday. And I heard even a little bit later on we will get an exclusive interview with our tree czar.
Oh, okay.
That is the guy who is in charge of running all of this, putting together and coordinating this many-pronged charity event that goes on for 3 weeks. This is going to be open 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Sunday, every day of the week, 7 days a week, from now until December 18th. So you have a lot of time to come on down here. If today doesn't work for you, we're actually going to be back down here again tomorrow. Looking forward to that. And we got an awful lot coming up.
Do they sell out the trees?
You know what happens at the end of the... We will end up selling... We originally get like 2,000 or 3,000 trees delivered, and those are gone within the first few days. We'll have another 2,000 or 3,000 trees delivered that will be sold throughout the remainder of us being open. And then at the end of the... At the end of the lot's run, we do a huge Christmas tree lot party, which case we line the entire party with our remaining trees, and then the very next day we give them away to charities and shelters, and whoever didn't get a tree gets a tree, and
when
it's all
cool.
said and
okay,
done.
Good.
There also have been some drunk people who have thrown some into the bay, but I'm not allowed to tell you that. Before we move on to anything else, It drives me nuts when an athlete is about anything other than his own production. Vernon Davis is a classic example of this. Vernon Davis was all done in the NFL, not when Cam Chancellor hit him 3 years ago and left him a little loopy up in Seattle. Not then. He was all done when mentally he wanted to do something else for a living. When he wanted to open up a restaurant, when he wanted to open up a Jamba Juice, when he wanted to open up an art gallery, when he wanted to be Vernon Davis... The interesting guy. No offense, Vernon, but like all athletes, our interest in you is directly related to your production. 4 minutes ago, Vernon Davis tweeted, which Crave jerky flavor do you guys like better, chili lime or black cherry barbecue?
I was just trying to think of the name of the beef jerky company, too. That's funny.
Which Crave jerky flavor do you guys like better? And obviously, Vernon is being paid on behalf of Crave Jerky, which, by the way, when you're building your brand, you get in bed with Big Jerky. Big Jerky is the industry you want to be in bed with as you're building that classy, top-shelf, Cadillac-driving, Lexus-purchasing crowd. You want to get in bed with Big Jerky. Because that's where all the money is in the terms of industry and advertising. So as Vernon is talking about which beef jerky do you like? May I bring up the fact that in four games since joining the Denver Broncos, you got 10 catches, 97 yards, and a touchdown. No, no touchdowns. Which flavor do I like? Black cherry barbecue, chili lime? You know, there's only one flavor I like. End zone flavor.
Winning.
That's it. The only flavor Vernon could ever offer me that I'd be interested in would be the delicious taste of victory. And he's not exactly off. So there you go. Vernon Davis, his brand isn't so much productive tight end that helps you in football games. His brand is more inquisitive beef jerky questions on Twitter. They got to be thrilled with that trade in Denver. What a difference maker he's been.
Yeah.
10 catches, 97 yards, no touch. He has one more inquisitive tweet about beef jerky flavors than he does touchdowns. Touchdowns, zero. Beef jerky tweets, one.
Wow.
Congratulations, Vernon. I got a caller on hold here waiting patiently. This is Lou. Lou is in Napa. Lou, you're on 95.7 The Game. How are you?
Hey, how's it going? Wonder if Vernon's selling any turkey jerky. He might do well with that.
He should know where the best turkey jerky comes from, of course, Levi Stadium.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, first off, happy holidays to you guys. It's a great thing you guys are doing with the trees and in this weather.
Thank
so
you.
Good job. I just wanted to chime in on Draymond being like the unsung hero of the Warriors. The phrase goon up he came up with last season just haven't stopped.
Well, there is an attitude. There's a chip on his shoulder. There is a hunger. There is a swagger about him that every great team needs. Everyone needs somebody that they rally around. And even though Steph is an incredible shot and Iguodala's got an awful lot of clout and everybody seems to really like Andrew Bogut and Harrison Barnes is a guy who can gain consensus anywhere. He's the senator. It is Draymond Green that this team rallies around more than anybody else. And if that doesn't make him important, I really don't know what does.
Completely agree.
I love that in a caller. Thank you very much, Lou in Napa. The numbers are ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Like, Draymond Green is a small forward, power forward, front court player, right? He's a center, undersized center, undersized four, a properly sized three, I guess, if you will. Do you realize that he passes the ball like a point guard? 7.2. That's Draymond Green's assist per games. It's the eighth highest in the NBA. He's got 144 assists in 20 games. He had 294 assists in 79 games last year. He has already, in 20 games, dropped almost nearly half of all the assists he dropped last year. What makes Draymond Green a top 10 player now is if you also take into account what he's doing and how he's growing and how he gets better year in, year out. It's obscene. It's insane. Our buddy Rusty Simmons is going to be joining us coming up next. We got an awful lot to talk to him about. It won't just be a let's gush about Steph conversation. We'll talk about the other things going on with the Warriors and try to find something to maybe point out a weakness or a deficiency that they actually need to work on if they want to get better, because this is the crazy thing. You know they want to get better. I know you really can't get better than 20-0, but this is the kind of team that I'm sure picks apart games that we just sit and applaud. I promise you that they have brutally honest film sessions with each other, and they know what they need to work on. We'll ask Rusty what he thinks they need to work on. What they've got coming up in their schedule, we'll let you know from a little around the NBA last night. Kyle Lowry, who's next on the schedule. I'm telling you, Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan is the most underrated backcourt in the NBA and could absolutely give the Warriors some fits in Toronto when they play there on Saturday. Kyle Lowry's coming off a season-high 31, 22 getting dropped in the fourth quarter. He closed like strong like bull last night. He really did. He outscored the Hawks by himself in the fourth quarter, 22-20, as the Raptors went on to win that game. Also coming up a little bit later, They go Toronto, then they go Brooklyn, then they get to Indiana. Paul George right now is just playing his rear end off. Paul George, 31 points, 10 rebounds. Of his five career games with at least 30 and 10, three have come so far this season. So he is back with a vengeance. Let's see. Anything else? Only because I get to say Isaiah Thomas. Reggie Jackson last night, first Pistons player with 30 points and 15 dimes in a game since Isaiah Thomas did so in 88-87. By the way, one more note. The Spurs won their 19th straight regular season game at home going back to last season. That is three shy of matching the longest such streak in franchise history. So even though, per usual, our attention is on everything in the NBA but the Spurs, you better keep paying attention to the Spurs. They're for real. Dusty Simmons, who, of course, covers the Warriors for the San Francisco Chronicle, he is next here on 95.7 The Game.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show, live from the Guardsman Tree Lot at Fort Mason on 95.7 The Game.
20 straight wins to open a season. I almost have to look down and read it every time because just saying it doesn't feel right. I mean, it's insane. It's not supposed to happen. It hasn't happened since the 1884 Maroons, who we'll never have to hear from again. Thank goodness. They were getting annoying. All those 1884 Maroon bloggers. Oh, jeez. They're the worst. Welcome back to the Damon Bruce Show. Welcome back to our good friend Rusty Simmons, who covers the Warriors for the San Francisco Chronicle. I mean, 20 in a row, Rusty. What can you really say? What can you even write other than 20 in a row? That's insane.
Yeah, it is. It is insane. It's so insane that the Maroons, the team you're talking about, they disbanded the league after they started 20-0. So the NBA might not exist after the Warriors are done with this thing.
There you go. The Warriors are breaking professional basketball competition as we know it. It's over. I saw an article today, 538.com, about how Steph Curry's basically breaking basketball. And one of the things that they got at was that Curry has identified there's no such thing as him shooting too many threes. I mean, we grew up watching basketball where coaches would tell you, that's too many threes. This is too... You know, Reggie Miller is one of the best shooters of my lifetime. Reggie never had a green light like this. No one's ever deserved a green light like this.
Yeah, and this has been something that people have told Steph forever. In high school, they wanted him to shoot more. Every pro coach he's had has told him to shoot more. And it's just not his natural thing. He's a player magnet, wants guys to be involved. So he's always done his thing, but he's also passed and deferred to other guys. And finally, with the coaching and analytics, he finally realized it is not a bad shot anytime I shoot. And before the last game in Charlotte, he was launching things from the logo at half court. And that is something he's practicing now because he realizes teams are going to defend him out that far, so he's going to make himself better. He's going to extend his range.
Well, and it's just insane because right now I saw a stat today that he is 4-for-10 on shots of 30 feet or more, while Cleveland, Houston, the Clippers, the Lakers, the Hawks, the Celtics, the Nets, the Hornets, the Mavericks, the Nuggets, the Bucks, the Pelicans, the Magic, the Suns, the Spurs, and the Jazz are combined with Washington, of course, to go 4-for-119. From the same distance. Curry's 4-for-10. Half the NBA's 4-for-119 from that
and
distance.
He shoots, and he makes it look effortless. He shoots with a flick of the wrist from 30 feet. The Warriors, after every shoot-around, or most of them, have a half-court competition, and they're not allowed to bet, so I'm sure there's no money on it. But they've put Steph Curry under the basket now. He's not even allowed to be part of it, and everybody else takes shots from half-court. He's so good that he would win it every time. He's out of the competition. But they let the training staff, the PR staff, the coaches are all involved in it. And when you watch grown men try to shoot from half court, it's a hard thing. When Steph walks back there, it's a flip of the wrist. It's so effortless. It's remarkable what he does.
It really is crazy. By the way, nothing puts the MVP in his place like turning him into a glorified ball shagger for a half-point shooting contest.
Exactly.
I don't know too many MVPs who would agree to do that. That's awesome. We got Rusty Simmons joining us here talking about 20 in a row, and obviously Curry's been the headliner. If he's Jordan, who's his Pippen? I really think it's Draymond Green.
Yeah, absolutely. Except Pippen didn't say as much until Jordan was gone and he refused to go in the game if he wasn't taking the last shot. Pippen didn't say nearly as much as Draymond. And from his first day with the Warriors, Draymond was ready to talk. And he was ready to say what was ever on his mind. So I think that differentiates him a little bit, but he does do everything similar to Pippen. Defense comes first, similar to Pippen. And he makes everybody around him better, which is very similar to Scottie. So I like that.
Tell me a little bit about the atmosphere in his hometown last night. That's as much Curry that has ever been spread over a single NBA moment between his son's performance and Dell getting his jersey retired or honored at halftime, whatever it was. It seemed like a remarkable night for that family.
Yeah, I should have known going into it because I've seen Curry on every big stage in the world rise to the occasion. He did it at Madison Square Garden, at Staples, and anytime there's an All-Star game or a stage where people are watching the NBA Finals, he steps up his game. We saw an NCAA tournament before he was ever a pro. So I should have known that he would take this stage and run with it. But I kind of wondered. There was so much attention on him, and it was his father's night. And he had a slow start, but then he came out at halftime and saw Dell get honored and celebrate and get the key to the city, and that just kind of set him off, and he went crazy in the third quarter. He scored 28 points, and he kept looking over at the bench, and he saw finally that Luke Walton was not going to let him play in the fourth quarter. He just decided, I'm scoring every time I get a chance, and then he went crazy in the third. It was fun to watch.
Now, in a crazy way, without tampering, do you think that Dell Curry night in front of Steph was the Charlotte franchise's first non-official official courting of Steph Curry for his final contract after the 2028 season?
Oh, 100% chance. I mean, the local reporters who were there were asking about his favorite football team, the Carolina Panthers. Most of those guys, including Cam Newton, came to the game. They did everything short of putting up a billboard that said, "Please, Curry." They were supporting him. But they have been for 7 years. I mean, they've been talking to him about coming home forever.
What do you think interest Steph would have in that? He seems way too smart to walk away from any sort of a winner while he's in his prime. But do you think, like, the heartstrings of his career might tug him to sign a 3-year goodbye deal in Charlotte when he's long past this version of Steph Curry?
Yeah, my answer would have been different 3, 4, 5 years ago. I think he would have considered Charlotte and any other place. But now he knows what he's got. He's got the perfect complement in the backcourt with him and a team around him that's really unselfish and championship proven. So he's going to be here during his prime years. But I think there is a chance that one day he goes back. He always says it would be great to play in Charlotte, to play in front of his home crowd. So I think there's a day 15, 20 years into his career where he could stand in the corner and shoot three-pointers for the Hornets.
Look at it this way. I've seen Jim Barnett knock down threes and loafers. So imagine what Curry will be able to do at the end of his career. We've got Rusty Simmons.
A baseline competition between those two would be pretty good.
A pay-per-view ready. It really is. Rusty Simmons from the San Francisco Chronicle here on 95.7 The Game. One last note on last night. Was Jordan there? Did you see him at all? He wasn't on TV.
He was not there, and it was surprising because they brought out just about every dignitary that they could to present Dell Curry with his awards and to celebrate him. So it was a little surprising. I guess maybe because Stephen Curry's an Under Armour guy and not a Jordan brand guy, that might have had something to do with it, or maybe I'm overthinking it.
Wow, I didn't think of that, but I'll tell you what, Jordan is such a brand ambassador. I wonder if that did have anything to do with it, because I mean, no one's snubbing Dell Curry night. Dell Curry doesn't have an enemy in basketball.
Or in the world.
right. Yeah, he's not on Jordan's elite secret enemies list or anything like that. What can you tell us about Harrison Barnes? Does he rejoin this team on the road trip?
I don't think he plays on the road trip. It's a high ankle sprain, which sometimes can be 6 weeks. And I think the Warriors are going to and have the right to be very cautious with them. There's no sense in rushing them out there. But as soon as I say that, 2 days ago at practice, he was out there shooting one-footed shots in socks. So I know he's itching to get out there, but I don't think it's going to be on this road trip.
Speaking of a return, have you heard anything about Steve Kerr? And might it reach the point where this team is on such cruise control, he might even stay away under the premise of, it can't get any better with me. There's no reason for me to shake it up.
Yeah, he jokes about it, that he doesn't want to mess up the streak and he's not going to come back while they're doing this. But that's not what the situation is. He's doing everything that he can. When they're at home, he's watching practices and he's part of the planning for that. When they have games at home, he addresses the team and sits in the coach's office and watches the game on TV. He took a flight with them to L.A. and addressed them before shoot around. So anything he can do, he is doing because he's such a competitor. But he physically can't be an NBA coach right now. When you have spinal fluid leak, it's a serious deal. He's still dealing with the headaches and a lack of energy. And when it's that kind of thing, there's a change in personality. And he can't be an NBA coach right now, and he knows that. The good news is that the Warriors have the best doctors in the world, and they got a real competitor trying to fight this thing. So he'll be back. It's just not going to be anytime soon.
What, if any, credit would you give the little bit of presence Steve Nash has had around this team when it comes to all the things that go into the stew that create the 20-0 start? I mean, I heard Nash's name mentioned in the preseason, and I haven't really heard him since. Looking for differences between this year and last, he's one of them. How significant a presence does he have around this team, either physically or in mental prep?
Yeah, it hasn't been significant yet. He was around a little bit during the preseason, and he gave a master's class in pick and roll, which probably made everyone within earshot 100 times better than they were. And then when the team was down in Southern California for a lot of training camp, he was involved with that. But he hasn't been around a ton yet. When he does come around, he's going to have an impact. And Stephen Curry said this the other day, that he's building up film, game tape, that he wants to show Nash so that they can sit down and talk it over together. One of the things Curry wants to do is become a better decision maker, and Nash will certainly help with that. And I think that'll happen in the days to come.
All right, here's our final question. What concerns you more about this back-to-back, that DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry might run the legs out from underneath the Warriors in Toronto, or the residue of that when they go and play the Nets the next night, who were the biggest surprise from a competition standpoint this Warrior team has seen all season long so far?
Of those two options, I would definitely say Brooklyn on a back-to-back. Brooklyn broke the Warriors' last long streak. They took them to overtime this year, so that scares me. But really, the second back-to-back of this road trip is the one I'd be looking at. I know Milwaukee stinks, but it's the last game of a seven-game trip, 2 weeks long, and I'm sure that Luke Walton's threat of resting guys is really going to happen at some point. I think it's going to be that game.
Always good to talk to you, Rusty. Thanks so much, man, and enjoy the ride. Is there a number in your mind that this gets to? Do you want to go there? Do you want us to give us your number? We'll be talking about a 28-game win streak, a 33-game win streak, a 47-game win streak. Where does it end?
Well, I always root for my story, so they'll be at 33 on Christmas against Cleveland. That'd be a fun one to write.
Oh, hey, cancel Christmas right now, because that would be the biggest story in the world. Thank you so much, Rusty. Great to see you, man.
Thanks, Damon. I appreciate you.
Rusty Simmons from the San Francisco Chronicle. Always great stuff from Rusty. When we come on back, we're waiting to hear from you. I've been waiting to take some calls. We got open lines at 888-957-9570. More gushing over 20-0. And why wouldn't we? It's remarkable. More of that coming up next on the Damon Bruce Show.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. This is the Damon Bruce Show. Live from the Guardsman Tree Lot at Fort Mason on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome Bob back. It's great to have you here. We are at the Guardsman Tree Lot, which has us very much in the holiday mood. So much, Gianna, that I said I was going to give my audience the gift that very few people ask for. But the small minority that wants it is a vocal minority. Are you ready for my gift of just a smidgen of Sharks talk?
Oh, here we go.
Are you ready?
Yeah, actually, I am ready.
I tell you what, just so everyone knows that this is my holiday gift, would you please, Elena, let everybody know that it is the time of the year where we do give out presents here on the Damon Bruce Show. That's right. Here's my gift to you, a Sharks segment. Not the whole segment, you know, because we don't want to be thrown off the air because no one's listening or anything. But just a of Sharks. Are you ready? They're 14-10-0 on the season, right? They're off until tomorrow. They'll be playing down in Anaheim. They're coming off of a 5-1 loss in their last game to the Penguins. I actually watched a little bit of that, and it's too bad that I tuned into a little bit of that because they didn't play particularly well. You know what they are? Here's what they are. This is going to sound like a backhanded compliment because it is. They're a middle-of-the-road NHL team that is at best streaky. That's what they are. They can put together a little bit of a streak that makes you go, hey, what do you got there? And then they'll put a streak in the other direction together that makes you go, ah, maybe you don't have as much as you really thought. It's not as consistent as you hoped. It's middle of the road, but the good news is middle of the road at this particular time puts you right at the front of the Pacific Division. The Sharks are behind the Kings. They're 1 point ahead of, what, Arizona, Vancouver, Anaheim, Calgary, Edmonton. All those teams are without a winning record except for Vancouver and Arizona, I think, and the Kings, obviously. But here's the deal. It's Joe Pavelski's team now. Team Pavelski is pretty much how we should bill the San Jose Sharks. Team Pavelski. He leads the team in points, goals, and assists. Martin Jones, he's got 3 shutouts in net so far. He's 12-7 in his 20 starts. He's got a 2.23 goals against average. That puts him just outside the top 10 around the NHL. You know, they're not a bad hockey team, but they're not a great hockey team. I think they're stuck in another season of being pretty good. They're going to be a pretty good Sharks team. Is that good enough to win a Stanley Cup? Not at this particular time. You will not win a cup as long as Patrick Marleau's wearing a sweater. It's just, I'm not saying it's all his fault, but what I'm trying to say is it's all his fault. Him and Joe Thornton, for two guys who have a lot of respect around hockey circles, they just don't get it done in big moments, big games, and that is their reputation, and they've not been able to shake that reputation at any point in time during their entirety of their entire careers, and I'm not making it up. And if you think the Tiger changes its stripes 10, 11, 12 years into its career, no. Gianna, do you enjoy that Sharks talk? Do you feel good? Do you feel like your heart's been zambonied?
Do you feel it?
Do you feel it?
I felt it.
Do you feel it?
Was that me?
That's what that was.
Oh, God, don't
do you
that.
Feel it?
Oh, jeez.
How do you
is that
feel?
What I sound? Is that what I sound like?
A little bit.
A little bit? Oh, jeez. Okay, so I hope you enjoyed your Shark segment. Let's go to Dave in Fremont. How are you, Dave?
Hey, Damon, how are you? Thanks for taking my call, bro.
Yes, sir.
Okay, hey, thank you. Okay, I admire the Zambonified Christmas gift. I will always appreciate it. You open the door to Sharks Hockey Talk, I'm going to jump all over it any chance I get. And I got to tell you, man, I could not agree with you more about Marleau and Thornton. I am telling you, do not drink the teal-flavored Kool-Aid, okay? Because, dude, it's not there, man. And you're absolutely right. Marleau, Thornton, they got to go. Because here's the thing, okay? It's an okay team. But over the years, every postseason we hit, we're always coming up short. We're always coming up shy. And there's been a progressive degression over the years with that. And the same two guys that are expected to pick up never do. You know, and it's time for new blood to take over. I'm glad Pavelski's in. I'm very questionable about McClellan being out of the picture because I still don't have a warm and fuzzy over DeBoer right now. But, you know, all things said, I mean, unless we get rid of the bulk of this ineffective roster we've been dealing with over the years, just buckle up for the same garbage that we've been going through year after year.
You know what the best part about this season is so far is whenever they do the throwback jerseys. Those look good. I don't like when they rock
they
the
are.
Black jerseys. I don't like the black jerseys.
If you're going to
be If you're going to be teal, damn it. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call, Dave. If we let you go on, they'd throw me off the air and give my show to someone else. Let's go to Chris in San Francisco real fast. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Damon. I love Draymond as much as anybody, but I just can't agree with you. He's a top 10 player. You're looking at it in the context that he plays on this great Warrior team with two guys, and Curry is probably the best player in the game right now, and Thompson, so defenses don't really have to game plan it. But if you're telling me I have to start my team, and let's say I'm going to give you a couple examples, some guys. If I have to pick between him and Marc Gasol, or him and Jimmy Butler, or even a guy like Aldridge, or even Chris Bosh, I couldn't do it because I don't think he can be the front man on a team. I think he's a great.
Because you don't need to be front and center to be a top 10 guy.
You need to be
a guy that is versatile and understands your role and can adapt your role to whatever the game plan of that night calls for. I don't think there's a player who trumps Draymond Green in on-court versatility in the entire NBA, and that's why I've got him in the top 10.
Would you say to me that on this team, a guy like Jimmy Butler or Gasol or Aldridge or Chris Bosh couldn't do what Draymond Green does? Because I think they could. It's just a matter of the personnel, and sometimes guys on other teams just aren't as good.
How about this? I'm not going to say that Draymond Green can do everything Jimmy Butler could do or do everything Marc Gasol could do, but he's the only guy in the NBA that can absolutely guard both those guys.
No doubt. He serves a purpose. And
well,
I think he's going to.
But that's the thing.
But to All-Star team. He's going to make
it this year. I appreciate your phone call. I think he should be an All-Star this year. If you look at gaudy numbers, Draymond's not even in the conversation. If you're beginning your who's a good basketball player conversation with nothing but gaudy numbers, Draymond's not going to get there. If you watch the game, if you watch this guy play, I mean. The choices he makes about what's working and not working for himself are right in the part of what makes him so good. He wanted to score last night. He wanted to get out and shoot it a little bit. Wasn't falling. So what's he end up doing? 11 rebounds and 9 assists. Only 2 turnovers. Couple blocked shots. He only had 4 points. But then he said, all right, it's not my night from the floor. How else can I help this team win? All right, well, I'll just spend most of the night guarding the other team's best or hottest player. And everyone else just do their thing. And, oh, by the way, me setting a screen or kicking to Steph Curry is, like, almost as scary as Kareem Skyhook. It's as good of a weapon as you're going to find. Draymond Green coming off of a screen or screening for a flashing Steph Curry. There's a lot of money to be made there. Maybe Train was busy. Maybe Drops of Jupiter have been cried or whatever that would require. Nothing says we're not in San Francisco anymore like making sure the band playing the halftime of the Super Bowl that was never in San Francisco to begin with is from England. That's next on the Damon Bruce Show.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show. Live from the Guardsman Tree Lot at Fort Mason on 95.7 The Game.
All right, I tweeted this a little bit earlier, and I've got the hoi polloi a little ginned up here, Gianna. You tell me. Nothing says we're no longer a San Francisco team by showcasing a band from England in your Super Bowl that's in Santa Clara to begin with.
Yeah.
Coldplay.
I don't hate Coldplay, so I'm not going to...
Well, of course not. You're a girl.
They're actually good live. They don't scream Super Bowl halftime to me, though. That's the problem.
No, they scream, she just left me and I'm depressed. Or I really wasn't good at talking to girls. I'm a little awkward to begin with. Or it's like a montage of... It's like a montage of guys wearing tie... Like, if you have ever tied a cardigan sweater around your shoulders, I bet you got a Coldplay album.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like the Mr. Rogers of rock. No, I loved Mr. Rogers. And they're not a bad band.
No, they're okay.
There's nothing that says, okay, agree or disagree. Not a single team in the history of professional sports has ever listened to Coldplay to get fired up for the big game.
Definitely not.
Thank you.
That's the problem. That's what I'm saying. They're not like a high energy, fun, band that you expect for a Super Bowl halftime show. Like Bruno Mars, hands down, absolutely.
Coldplay, to me, is the kind of band that your mother listens to while she gardens. Just a little bit. Your hip younger mother.
Your hip, that's true.
Cool, a 38-year-old mom is listening to Coldplay in her garden as her stepkids don't appreciate her.
What about Vernon Davis? He might listen
Vernon
to Coldplay.
Vernon Davis loves Coldplay.
He loves Coldplay before Vernon a tough game.
Vernon Davis, absolutely. The minute he got traded, he went and he started listening to Clocks. You know, oh, it's
that's
so...
like after the game. You know, when you're chilling.
Coldplay.
Having a beverage.
Coldplay is to Super Bowl halftime shows as Vernon Davis is to inspired tight end play. Perfect. Thank you for the analogy. Before we get back to any of this, and before we actually get to 49er running back Sean Drone, who's going to be joining us at 5 o'clock, we're going to go inside the 49er locker room. I want to introduce everybody real quick to a guy who is absolutely, over the next 3 weeks, one of the hardest working guys in Northern California. Justin Monfordini is our tree lot czar this year, which means it's all on him to coordinate the manpower, the deliveries, keeping the lights on, helping us from do this show down here. Justin Monfordini has taken on a huge undertaking here. And I got to tell you, buddy, the lot has never looked better. Congratulations. You're doing a great job. How are you, man?
Thank you, Damon. Great. Thanks for coming down to the Guardsman Tree Lot. Really appreciate you guys coming down and supporting us.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm thrilled to do it. You know, I try to keep telling people about us. I've given the Guardsman elevator pitch a million times. What's yours? Go ahead. Quickly let people know what we're all about.
Well, we're obviously a nonprofit charity group here in San Francisco made up of 150 volunteers that sends 250 kids to camp each year and 250 kids to school. We do it through throwing different events. This is our signature event, our biggest event down here at Fort Mason.
This is our Super Bowl.
This is our Super Bowl. Yeah. So,
but there's no Coldplay down here, so it's going to be a lot better than the actual Super Bowl, and you don't need to drive to Santa Clara to get there.
Yeah.
Continue.
But we sell about 5,000 trees here each season, and we have two major events. One is our tree lot party, and the other one is our crab feed. We've got several different sponsors here this year. One is Eddie Bauer. Eddie Bauer is our title sponsor this year. Thank you, Eddie Bauer. Let's see here. We've got many other organizations that come down.
Right.
And
For those who don't know, the Guardsmen are a group that comes together. It's an all-volunteer army of guys that set all this up. But we're hardly the only volunteer army in here working. We've got a lot of other really wonderful charity groups that help us out. And who are they? Let's give them some love.
CY Boys and Girls Club, they come down. They lend a hand, a big hand. There's a bunch of other random people in the community that come down. We have all the Catholic high schools in San Francisco, Sacred Heart, Archbishop Reardon High School, St. Ignatius. They come down.
SI guy, aren't you?
No, I'm a Reardon guy.
Oh, excuse me. Oh, that's like fighting words.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm
a Reardon guy. They come down, they bring their basketball teams, their football teams, help tie trees to cars, drag trees around. I mean, it gets really busy down here during the weekend. We just had a record-breaking weekend this first weekend. Hopefully, we'll break that record this weekend. So all the folks, I ask you to come down to Fort Mason and buy your tree and support the Guardsmen. Send a kid to camp.
That's great, man. Thank you for all you're doing. I know it's an incredible amount of work that you have to do. Can I give you one assignment?
It's a lot of fun.
No, it is. Fun. It really is. We have a great time down here. This turns into a little clubhouse for us for the duration of the 3 weeks. The tree lot, by the way, is open from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Friday, including the weekends. And the weekends are very, very busy. What we're going to do, how about this? I want you, by the czar himself, to go find a 6-7 foot tree that we can give away tomorrow on tomorrow's show.
Absolutely.
All right.
Pick out the perfect tree. There's not a bad tree in the house, by the way.
But there's no bad trees, but some are better than others.
Yes.
So go find what you think is the perfect Christmas tree. You are the czar. You know more about these trees than anybody. drag it up here, and tomorrow we'll give it away to somebody. Sound good?
Sounds great. Yeah.
Awesome, man. Hey, thank you so much for having us here. You know how much how proud I am to be involved in this group. It really is like one of the best things I've done since moving to the West Coast.
Yeah.
So thanks for having us here.
Thank you.
And let's have a killer tree lot, man.
Awesome.
Thank you, Justin.
David.
Absolutely. Right. He is our tree lot czar this year, Justin Monfredini. I'm going to give a golf clap into my microphone.
Well,
yeah, golf clap, Justin, and
thank
the hard
good
efforts.
Job, Justin.
Great stuff, man. And we'll never make the Reardon SI mistake ever again.
Yeah, no,
ever
again. All the way.
I promise you.
Crusaders.
Thank you very much, buddy. There he is, Justin Monfredini. He is our tree lot czar. And again, you are welcome to come on down to the tree lot. It's great. If you work downtown San Francisco, especially if you got to get back over the bridge to get home, the Golden Gate Bridge, we're right on your way to the bridge. We are in Fort Mason at the Festival Pavilion. You drive into Fort Mason, and we're at we're in the big, you know, basically the warehouse all the way to the right that juts out into San Francisco Bay. It really is a great place to come on down. Bring your family, bring your friends, bring your kids on the weekend. It gets a little chaotic here on the weekends.
Oh,
it really does.
When you walk in, you smell the pine needles. It smells like Christmas. It feels like Christmas. And I love that. You can bring the whole family, go through the rows and rows of trees. There's bouncy houses. I walked through the ornaments a few minutes ago. There's a huge variety, some for your puppies.
You know what
some
I'm going to do?
Giants. It's really cool.
Elena, put the Christmas song on. Gianna and I need to sing the Christmas song together right now for
harmony there. I tried.
I think I just teared up a little. That was beautiful. That was, how about this? If we played halftime of the Super Bowl, it would be better than Coldplay. If you and I came out and did that and said, thank you, Santa Clara, and then walked off, people would be like, you know what? Better than Coldplay.
You think? It's that rendition for sure.
And what's her name? Mrs. Goop's not involved.
No, Gwyneth is no longer in the picture.
You know, how about this? The team that mutually uncoupled with its coach has the band that mutually uncoupled with its Yoko.
The irony.
Beautiful. Here's the thing. This is the one thing that I'm sure the 49ers are not responsible for. They don't really choose it. But I believe if they were in San Francisco, we're not getting stuck with Coldplay. They would have gone something from the Bay Area. It would have been a San Francisco. All the music that has come from Northern California, you got to go and book Coldplay.
Or just California in general. I mean, the energy. It's just, I don't hate Coldplay. I'm
I got
a fan,
one
but
word.
Low energy.
One word. Metallica.
Yeah.
100% the halftime act should have been Metallica.
I'm surprised it isn't.
Metallica knows they're pissed, and they're going to play AT&T Park the Saturday before the Super Bowl. And guess what? Not only is it going to be better than Coldplay, probably going to be better than the Super Bowl. 888-957-9570. We're going to go inside the 49er locker room next.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.